making known the riches of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are excited for another week of opening the Word of God, expounding the Word of God, and looking at what the Lord has to say in His revelation to us as we go through this life and what His plan of salvation is and how He is exalting the name of His Son to the nations. That's what we're considering this week on Abounding Grace. And before we begin this week, I do want to invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. Again, that is www.agradio.org. We have a whole bunch of resources there for you. We have all these on podcast, iTunes, Google Play. It's all set up for you. Maps to churches. Do explore that website. And you're always welcome to write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Well, this week on Abounding Grace, we're going to Psalm 2. This is always a psalm that I wanted to consider, a psalm that I wanted to preach, and now I get the opportunity to teach it to you this week on Abounding Grace, and what a glorious psalm this is. Let me read a little bit of this, and then we're going to spend our time this week expounding this and hopefully seeing how applicable and how important this psalm is to us in our day. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is kindled, quickly kindled. Blessed are those who take refuge in Him." Psalm 2. Nothing quite like it. Well, we are bombarded on the news with a political scene that is bustling about, trying desperately to solve all of the world's problems, aren't they? And the reality is, the lack of certainty, the turmoil, the threats that come down our path today are greater than ever. And no one seems to have any answers, do they? Everything that these people do only seems to add to the confusion. Everything that these people seem to do only seem to dig us deeper into the ditch. And what is the real struggle? Well, if we look at it from a Christian standpoint, here we are, Christians, believers, churches, and we're trying to offer a message in all of this chaos of hope and of peace. And we say and we teach that Christianity is the answer. We teach and proclaim that Jesus Christ is reigning as King over all, that He is what history is about, and that He has won the victory, and the nations of the world are subject to Him, that every single life is under His powerful lordship. What's our problem? Well, our problem is everything we confess in the Christian gospel about the reign of Christ, the victory of Christ, it just doesn't seem to be coming to pass. I look at weak, hurting sheep. I look at people, some of which seem to make no progress at all. Hey, I'm sick with my own progress. And the church is just constantly in turmoil. I mean, it almost feels like we're living the exact opposite of what we're proclaiming. Instead of victory, we often feel defeated. You ever feel this? If you know what I'm describing, you understand what has always been the struggle of God's people in this present evil age. And because of this struggle, Christians have not always known what to do when the kingdoms of this world become restless, noisy, chaotic, turbulent, or even deadly. What are we to think when a wicked leader comes into power? We live in fear, don't we? Because we're trying to raise our children in to be the lights, and all around us is the escalation of evil, and all we see is idol worship, and all we're exposed to is wickedness. So the question is how do we make sense of this Christian life that tells the story of victory, but we all seem to be experiencing what we seem to be experiencing in this world is nothing but conflict. And in this environment, how in the world are we going to make a difference? We're left wondering, is history really moving to an end that has to do with Jesus? Really? Who is taking Jesus Christ seriously on the world scene? He doesn't even seem to be on the radar for these people. And with all these questions, lo and behold, we have Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is saying to us, all of this turbulence that we're experiencing in this world, in the kingdoms of this world, has everything to do with Jesus. You believe that? You understand that? It's not what it seems. Psalm 2 is giving us a picture of all of history from the viewpoint of heaven. And it's saying to us that Jesus is the center of history, that everything is about him, that everyone will bow to him. So Psalm 2 is given to show us the true meaning of it all, what is really happening, that you would not lose heart, and that you would know that the Lord is indeed reigning over all of this chaos. And boy, you know, over the past months on the news, haven't we seen this? Haven't we seen the nations of this world reeling and in turbulence? And haven't we seen everything so chaotic? And the violence and the hatred. So here we are. If I could explain all this today in a really meaningful way, let me put it this way. If I could say this, there's been so much confusion over the book of Revelation, hasn't there? You know what the thesis of the book of Revelation is? Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is the thesis of the book of Revelation. Let me tell you what it is. Jesus is going to win. The battle is his. The victory is certain. Psalm 2 calls us to trust him no matter what happens in this sad world, as he is indeed reigning. The glorious reign of Christ has happened. He's seated on his throne in heaven. It's a heavenly reign. Let's look at this with these things in mind. It's been correctly observed that Psalm 1 and 2 were so united at one time that they were probably viewed as one psalm, but they were viewed as the title of the whole Psalter. In other words, the other psalms you'll notice as you go through them are given titles. They're called superscriptions. But these two function to be the title of the whole Psalter, telling us that this is the context of the Psalter. This is how you read the Psalter. This is who this Psalter is about. You'll remember that the first psalm introduces us to this glorious man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now that was an amazing psalm. The first introduction is providing us a description of someone we're not. Let me introduce you to a man like you've never known. He's the ultimate man. Look at his life. Don't you envy it? Meet the kind of man that enters into God's presence and has total assurance of entering in the bliss of heaven. He doesn't sin. He doesn't begin in it. He doesn't stand in it. He doesn't fall into it. But instead, the standard of God's law, there's never a point that he does not give himself to meditate on it and do it. Let me introduce you to the model man, the paradigm man, the ultimate man. That's Psalm 1. But the guilty are not so. So Psalm 1 presented two paths that were presented to us, the path of the blessed man, and then our path, the way of sinners that we've chosen. Now, the second psalm is really unfolding the first. It's showing us where these paths lead. Now, the question then of Psalm 1 is, which man are we? If we confess that we're the guilty, there's only one man the blessed man of Psalm 1 can be. That's Jesus Christ, isn't it? He's the only one who's never sinned. He's the only one that's kept God's law, that's meditated on it day and night. And how do we identify with this man? That's the question we should ask. We identify with him by faith in this man. And so you'll notice in verse 12 that those who don't identify with this man, this is Psalm 2, those who reject this man will perish in the way. Remember, the psalm presents to us two ways, the way of the ungodly and the way of the righteous. So here the path of the guilty now in Psalm 2 is shown to us in more detail. But the psalm ends with proclaiming a blessing upon those who are trusting in the righteous man that these two psalms are presenting to us. You get that? These psalms are presenting to us a righteous man. The breakdown of the psalm, Psalm 2, is not difficult. There are four singers of this psalm. It's a quartet. So I want to outline it this way. The first singer in verses 1 through 3 is man taunting God. The second singer is God laughing in response. The third stanza, the third singer, is the Son declaring his enthronement. And the final is one, a voice of one giving a surprising plea. Let's look at this and unpack this week. Verse 1, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Why do they do that, says the psalmist? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Now the psalmist is in shock. He's looking at something he can't believe is happening. These little puny human beings who are nothing but a drop in the bucket before God, these ones who live and move and have their being in him, who have no right to exist, they've done something unimaginable. The words here are strong. The first word is rage. They have a noisy tumult, the restless, noisy assembly they have gathered together in to reject the Lord, to rage against the Lord, to plot against the Lord and his anointed. They're muttering together. It's a tragic beginning to this psalm. They have a noisy assembly plotting against the Lord. And what are they saying? Let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. Give us freedom from this God. We will do our own thing. We're going to unpack this week. I'm just kind of whetting the appetite here. You have a whole collective expression of the world's rebellion against the Lord and against his anointed. How do you think the Lord takes to this? How do you think the Lord takes to the tumult of the nations? You know what this psalm is going to say? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Sweats of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.